The Public News Service Daily Newscast for July the 8th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Mary Trump, the president's niece, plans to publish a tell-all family memoir next week, describing how a decades-long history of darkness, dysfunction, and brutality turned her uncle, our president, into a reckless leader. That from CNN. As a high school student in Queens, New York, Mary Trump writes that Donald Trump paid someone to take a pre-college test, the SAT, on his behalf. CNN quotes Mary Trump as saying the high score the proxy earned for Donald Trump helped him to gain admittance when he transferred as an undergraduate to the University of Pennsylvania and the prestigious Wharton Business School. Nevada lawmakers meet starting today to address unprecedented budget shortfalls. That's just a day after the state recorded its highest increase in COVID-19 hospitalizations.
More than 850 new virus cases were reported on Monday. Caleb Cage, the COVID-19 response director for Nevada, says more patients are requiring hospitalization, although the cases they're seeing are not as severe as they have been.
Today's numbers should serve as a significant reminder to Nevadans that this virus is still among us. Although we are not yet there, we are monitoring states that have reopened and are now experiencing troublesome overflows in their hospitals.
Meanwhile, state lawmakers begin discussions today about the governor's forecast of a $1.2 billion shortfall for the 2020-2021 fiscal year. Cuts for consideration include $233 million from Health and Human Services. For Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown.
After Nevada's casino resorts reopened on June the 4th, health officials warned that the influx of out-of-state or international travelers would expand the need for contact tracing. And with COVID-19 cases flaring up in many parts of the country, there's a movement among local governments to issue mask mandates. Our Mike Mullen reports in Iowa, municipal leaders who want to take such actions say their hands are tied.
Muscatine Mayor Diana Broderson says she wanted to do more to protect the public with more case activity in and around her city. She issued a mandate for residents to wear masks in public, but was rebuffed by county and state leaders. Broderson says her legal team has been looking into the issue.
They have assured me that the Iowa Constitution gives home rule to cities, and certainly in an emergency situation, the mayor has the opportunity to make whatever proclamation is needed to protect their city, and we stand by that.
While the proclamation still stands, the question of enforcement hasn't been resolved. County officials say the mayor overstepped her authority because Iowa law doesn't allow cities to issue such mandates. They cite opinions from the state attorney general.
This is PNS. Kids in Louisiana have seen slight advancement in their overall well-being since 2010, but the state is still stuck at 48th in the nation. That according to a new report from the NEE Casey Foundation. Compared to other states, Louisiana ranks 50th. For economic well-being, according to Terry Falgu with the group Agenda for Children.
40% of African-American children in our state live in a high-poverty neighborhood, compared to just 7% of white children. And so when you think about what that looks like on the ground, we know that high-poverty neighborhoods often experience worse health outcomes, lower quality schools, less access to fresh food.
We should note Louisiana did see some gains in education, especially for fourth graders in their reading proficiency and high school students graduating on time. There are new demands. The city of Cincinnati dropped charges against hundreds of people arrested during racial injustice protests.
On Tuesday, the Cincinnati Mass Defense Coalition served the city with motions to dismiss the cases against more than 500 people who were arrested, detained, and charged while protesting in support of Black Lives Matter. Coalition attorney Jacqueline Green contends police selectively targeted protesters based on the content of their message.
And the message, of course, was that they were standing up against racist policing and brutality. And the city's approach and decision to arrest these people was specifically targeted to silence and suppress that message.
If the city prosecutor's office continues to pursue the charges, it will then be up to the Hamilton County Municipal Court to determine whether to grant or deny the motion. Neither the city or the police department have commented on the motion. Mary Sherman reporting. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
It's estimated that in just the 2 weeks after the May 25th police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, 10,000 people have been arrested in protests across the U.S. Finally, our Andrew Arceos tells us 7 in 10 New Yorkers believe recovering from the economic impact of the pandemic is an opportunity. That's according to a new survey.
Conducted by the Nature Conservancy, it shows broad support for environmental initiatives like making parks and natural areas more accessible and limiting vehicle traffic in cities. And according to the Nature Conservancy's Stuart Gruskin, almost 90% support initiatives to make improving the environment a key element in reversing the devastating job losses brought on by the pandemic.
As we are looking at climate change and the need for clean energy and meeting the state's ambitious goals, that is a place where job creation makes a lot of sense.
The poll also found more than 90% of New York voters support investing in natural and man-made infrastructure to prevent natural disasters like flooding, storms, and fires.
I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We're member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.